So thank you, Patrick, and thank you, everyone. It's really good to see you. Good to be back in Castlereagh Fellowship. We're very, very grateful for your prayers. Very grateful for your support. Thank you, Nigel. Give me a little envelope, which you've all participated in, I'm sure, in your giving to missions and specifically to the work of Africa Christian Textbooks. And Mission Africa. I'm with Mission Africa as a mission. That's up there. Kwaibo is the old name. Some might have heard that before. It was a Nigeria-focused mission. It's wider now. But you may be aware of the offices not very far away along the dual carriageway, opposite Forestside. But that's Mission Africa. And then Africa Christian Textbooks is a ministry of Mission Africa, and we have other partners as well, which is great. Jean says, why do you put Belfast Bible College up there? But she is a volunteer at Belfast Bible College, and we really appreciate good things that are happening there. So that's why that's there. But it's good to be here. Our focus is still Nigeria, but we are interested in the work of God and the issues that I raised this evening about Nigeria are quite commonly shared by other African countries and even other parts of the world. So it's a huge country. The population just keeps on edging up around the 200 million mark, you know, which is just huge. It's the giant of Africa. And the amazing thing is that some 50% of the people there take the name Christian. That is, there's some affiliation to some Christian denomination. That doesn't mean they're all truly born again Christians, but there it is. It's still a remarkable thing because 150 years ago, that was zero. You know, so God has done something, and the challenge there is still of the challenge with Islam. The Muslim population hasn't changed greatly, maybe edging up a little bit. But the animist population has changed drastically. Many from an animist or traditional background have come to Christ. So that's the story. It's a growing church, but it's a persecuted church. And I thought I would share just a little bit. I know you, through Open Doors, you have a great interest in the persecuted church. And it's always good to go back to the scriptures and you know, realize that this was normal. This was expected. This was normal and is normal for the church. You know, we are blessed. We have to realize we are blessed. We are kind of an exception. I don't know if you looked at any of the news or listened to any of the news today and thought, Northern Ireland, Dennis the Menace gave us a miss, went for some bigger targets in England, Scotland, Wales. But we kind of got a miss, I think, mainly. Well, we're also getting a miss when it comes to persecution, but that might change. And certainly, the body of Christ is one, and we should be concerned. Paul advises Timothy. He says, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. You know all about that, he says. The kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Now, this is Paul, the old man, remembering years earlier. And what stands out? Persecution. Suffering. If you remember the book of Acts, you'll remember that he was stoned. He was left for dead. He was chased out of one town after another. These very places. Persecuted. Persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, anyone or everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, the degrees of persecution won't all be the same. Being ostracized in your workplace or have people talking behind your back is a form of persecution. It's not as bad as what some people are facing or even what Paul faced, but it's something we should be ready for. And it's interesting that Paul, in his own, if you go back to the book of Acts, in the end of the story of Iconium and Lystra and Antioch, Paul goes back to the very places that he's just been stoned and kicked out of. You say, that'd be the last place I would go. You take it that the Lord didn't want him there. But no, Paul goes back. He preached the gospel in that city and won large numbers of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Strengthening the church. One of the big aims of what we're doing through Christian literature is to strengthen the church. And what is one of the messages? What is the key message that Paul gave them at that time? We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Be ready for hardship. That was what they taught the young Christians. Didn't leave it for later on, but tell them young, they need to be ready for persecution. This is a normal. This is a normal. And just to give you an illustration of that, from last century, all right, it's so last century, but anyway, we are reminded by various anniversaries about World War I, World War II, which again we escaped more or less, many of us, but others suffered. And especially in Europe, I remember meeting Christians from the Netherlands, Dutch Christians, and they used to have this saying, which they kept going for years, 30, 40 years after the Nazi occupation. They used to say, when they left one another, "See you in the concentration camp." Because that was the mentality they had when they were facing the Nazis. They just didn't know when the knock would come and the Gestapo would round them up and they would be marched off, like Corrie Ten Boom and her family, remember, and others were taken into concentration camps. So they were preparing each other for persecution. That's the wise thing, because it is a normal price of following Jesus. Martin Luther King said, "No one really knows why they are alive until they know what they die for." Think of why you're alive. Think of what your purpose in life is. Is it just to get to the shops and get a good nosh up at the end of the day? Is that what you live for? Would you die for that? What are we living for? It's a good question to think about. And it's a challenge to remind ourselves that, take the world and give me Jesus. If we say I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, then no matter what the cost, I'm ready even to die for Jesus. And if you would say Jesus, then that means you must be prepared to risk your life. You might not be asked to lay it down. You might, but most of us will never face that challenge. But to risk, take a risk for Jesus, yeah, we can take risks. We could be prepared to sacrifice for him. What is he asking you to sacrifice for him? Out of love for him, that he loved us so much and sacrificed his life for us. What would you be willing to give, to do and to give for his cause? Ask yourself that. So according to Open Doors, we're getting it light. This is what Christians around the world are paying the price of persecution. And I think you're well aware of some of these stats. They're probably in that little booklet that you got this morning. So maybe I'll not repeat all of those so I have time for other things. The top 10 are in here, but I've given you the top 20 because I wanted to get the number 12 there. And it's Nigeria. Nigeria is one of maybe not extreme, but very high persecution. When we say very high, it's probably extreme in some places, and in other places it's just high. And actually Nigeria there's so many sides to Nigeria. It's a huge country, and it's like about 10 or, well, it's about like 100 Northern Irelands. So in some of those 100 Northern Irelands sized countries or states, it's quiet and there's no difficulty. But in others, there's very high persecution. So this is right, and this is good to record and good to remember that people are suffering in many of these countries, and there's a long list behind that. The top 50 You can go online and see it. So the cause of the persecution, one of the big causes, is this extreme jihadist Muslim extremist group linked to IS called Boko Haram. And they're very ruthless. They're still active. They've been revived recently. There's breakaway groups. A network of terror needs to be confronted with God's network of encouragement. We can encourage people like Luke Avandi. He'll get a mention in a moment. And others who are suffering, and their church and their members and their families are suffering. They need encouragement and prayer. So while the violent excesses of IS have mostly disappeared from the headlines in the West, from the Middle East, it's dying down a bit. Their loss of territory there means that fighters have dispersed to a larger number of countries, increasingly into sub-Saharan Africa. North Africa and sub-Saharan Africa is being affected with supplies not only of guns, but of fighters who are coming in and stirring up resistance to everything Western, everything Christian. Their radical ideology has inspired or infiltrated numerous splinter groups, including Boko Haram, Fulani militants, and also the latest is Islamic State West Africa Province, ISWAP. They enslave Christian women and girls as an integral part of their strategy. They are so cruel. And that, of course, brings us a reminder back to Leah. I talked about her a year ago here, and I know many of you have been praying for Leah. She was kidnapped 2 years ago, February, 2 years ago. Hard to believe that she's that long in captivity. And others were released, but she refused. I read recently a little bit more about what happened. She was taken along with over 100 classmates away from their school in the town of Dapchi, north of Jos in the north of Nigeria. And they were taken in the dead of night, gunfire. Some girls actually died on the first night because of crushing. They jammed over the 100 girls into one vehicle, one lorry. So some actually died on that journey. And then when they got to the destination, they held them captive for some time. And at some point, they got an inkling that one of the girls was a Christian. And they challenged the whole group. Who's a Christian? Who's a Christian? The girls said, we're all Muslims. We're all Muslims. We're going to kill you unless you tell us who's a Christian. No, we're all Muslims. We're all Muslims. They tried to protect Leah. They threatened. They cajoled the girls. They warned. They pointed the gun at them and everything. Eventually, Leah stood up and said, I'm a Christian. Kill me. Let these girls go. And now they didn't even stop there, although they did hold her and let the others go. But they tried to get the girls to persuade her, as well as themselves threatening her, you know, to turn to Islam. She said, no, I will not deny Jesus Christ. Under pressure from the terrorists, under pressure even from her own classmates, she refused. She stood firm. So she is a hero. She is somebody that Nigerian Christians are pointing to and saying, could you stand? Could I stand in such a situation? It's a big question, isn't it? So inspiring. And other young people are being inspired, are also giving their lives. Several have been even on video, shot in the back of the head while on video. I mean, they put out these videos that you just don't want to see. But young people from Nigeria being executed, beheaded, killed, slaughtered, persecuted. But others are saying this inspires us to go on living for Jesus. The suffering, nevertheless, is real. Leah, think of not only her suffering, her parents. They belong to the Evangelical Church, Winning All Equa Church They're suffering. But the latest report is that Leah was forced to marry a Boko Haram commander and has delivered a baby. So this is just ongoing suffering for that girl. And there are many others facing the same situation. So it's a hard one. And on the 9th of February, just a few days ago, a vehicle convoy was instructed by the army to park at the roadside because of curfew. By a certain time, they closed the road. But where did they go? The army seemed to close the road and then went back to the big city and left this convoy sitting at the side of the road. They were attacked in the middle of the night. 30 people were killed while they sat in their cars or slept in their cars in the middle of the night. As many as 18 vehicles, some of them big trucks and other passenger vehicles, as you can see there, were burned, shot and burned, and some were abducted, women and children. So it's a horrible thing. And in that situation, it was Muslims as well as Christians. It wasn't a specifically Christian group. Muslims as well as Christians. And Luke Avandi even told me today that the president of Nigeria himself, a Muslim, that his own village has been attacked recently. It's a very sad and strange situation. Nigeria is not being well led, and he seems to favor the terrorists, but Muslims are suffering as well as Christians. The whole country is suffering, but their target is more often than not Christians. So one of the Christians who suffered recently, again, this is within the last few weeks, is a man called the Reverend Lawan, and he was head of the Christian Association in his area. He was a pastor of the Church of the Brethren, the EYN Church, the same denomination as Luke Avandi. And that photograph's not very good because it's taken off a video, and he's shown on this video, a kind of proof of life video, backed up with a ransom demand, which the church was trying to meet when they were told that, no, we have executed him. But he bore a very faithful testimony, told his family not to be worried and to just thank God and keep on trusting God. So another example of faith and courage in the face of persecution. And pastors are a target. Now, this is back in Jos, which is majority Christian city. And there's theological institutions there, including the Theological College of Northern Nigeria, where I taught and where we lived for many years, 20 years, and taught there for about 20 years in Nigeria, in the north of Nigeria. And, from the title, Theological College of Northern Nigeria. So God's work's going on. Not only is it going on, it's growing. This is not an exception. This is a kind of norm that colleges have been growing in numbers. When we went there in 1990, there were about a third of the number that there are now studying in the college. There's such an interest to study God's word and to prepare for Christian service. But some of the students that I taught there are now in the front line of persecution and suffering. And this morning in our own church, we read this passage in 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 3, let me just keep an eye on the clock a little bit. Paul again, referring to persecuted Christians. And he's concerned for the Christians in Thessalonica. That's in present-day Greece, I suppose. And he administered there. He wasn't able to stay long. We're told that he taught there for 3 Sabbaths. And then he was kicked out and persecuted by opposition, Jewish-led opposition. So, but he never forgot the Thessalonians. He kept them in his heart. He was concerned for them. He didn't get news. He didn't have the modern means of communication that we had. Eventually, he said he got to such a point of anxiety and concern about the Thessalonian Christian that he sent Timothy. He sent his best worker. See how he praises him. He's his brother and co-worker, and assistant, Timothy. He sends Timothy to the persecuted Christians in Thessalonica. He says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen, again, there's that word, strengthen the church, strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. He knew they were still facing trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. So here's Paul. Wants to encourage them, sends Timothy. And that just resonated with me because Luke of Andy recently asked me, should he go to up into the northeast, the worst area, the northeast of Nigeria is the worst area for the suffering, the persecution. And Jaws is bad enough and there's difficulties around Jaws, but where he wanted to go is worse and more dangerous, and the roads between it also more dangerous. So he wanted to go for the church's pastors' conference, ministers' conference, the annual conference, and he asked me, should he go? And I said, go. If he's willing to go, I'm not going to hold him back. And I thank God that he went this past week and came back safely yesterday. So that was an answered prayer. And he went there. He went there with books, of course, behind him there. That is the Acts book van. And there's eager customers gathered around up in the northeast of Nigeria and people looking for books. And there were 900 pastors and evangelists came together. Because of the dangers, about 300 other pastors and evangelists couldn't be there. But Lucas said that at the end, 10 pastors brought forward sad reports of their churches and even families who'd lost their lives, churches burned, lives lost. Very sad, he said. It ended on a sad note. But think of the 900. The fact that the 900 were there and able to sit down in a conference and have fellowship and get books and be encouraged was great. And they sent back a message thanking Acts. And I pass it on to you as well because you had a role, especially publishing the Hausa. These are all Hausa speakers. Hausa Africa Bible Commentary. Some of them speak English. The ones that I taught speak English, because my eyes is not very good. But the more educated ones can speak English. The ones in the village, some of the pastors and evangelists with very little background can speak and even read English, read Hausa, but not English. So they benefit from the Hausa Africa Bible Commentary. And most of them now have got a copy in that particular denomination. So that's exciting. Luca was saying they all have either the English or the Hausa. Maybe some have both. So many gave their testimony of the importance of Acts in their lives and ministry. And Luca ended up saying, God is working among churches despite the intimidation and severe persecution. Those are his words, severe persecution going on. So there's the van again. I was able to identify on the book table there some of the Africa Bible Commentary. So you see the crowds gathering around, and this is the ministry. Most of you already know about Africa Christian Textbooks, or Acts, popularly known as Acts. God has helped us to establish this both in Nigeria and Kenya. We're trying to get it going in some other places as well. And Luca is in charge of the 15 bookshops across Nigeria, and he's doing an excellent job. So he's the managing director. I'm in the background, so-called international director, but he's the executive director. He's the one in charge, and he's doing a good job. This is a little view inside the main headquarters shop, but then there's the 15 other shops. And what we're doing, we're trying to provide books that are Bible-based or evangelical, faithful to Scripture, affordable. We get good relationship with the publishers, we get good discounts, we get good bargain prices. Affordable books, no use if people can't afford them. Accessible, that means they have to be understandable, not so obscure and difficult to read. They're accessible, they're in the right language, translated if necessary, where necessary, at the right level of English. They're accessible, they're appropriate, relevant to the context, addressing the issues. These are some of the issues that we have addressed and are still addressing. There's a few of the samples of the books at the back you might like to pick up and see sort of things that we're dealing with, topics and issues. And we've published more than 120 titles. Part of what I do is ordering books, but also editing books and approving books for publication. And we've published more than 120 titles, the majority of them written by Africans now. Textbooks tells you we're interested in the academic. Now you may say, well, I'm not interested in academics, but all of us came through a classroom somewhere along the way, didn't we? Hopefully we got some education and we should value that. And so the academic world and the academic teaching of theology, that is the Bible, and how to go about the Christian life and the church life and so on. Theological education, training pastors, training ministers, serving the classroom, serving the teachers. I know the value. Having gone out to teach there was one of the big frustrations, that I knew there were good books that the students could benefit from, but they weren't available. So we wanted good books, the right books, and including academic books, including Prof. Gooding's books. If you've read any of his books, you know they're well written. Some are at a more popular level, others are at a more academic level. All are good. The late Professor Gooding, we still continue the partnership with Myrtlefield. And these are a couple of the books that we are working on publishing in Hausa language. These are some of the more published, the more popular Gooding and Lennox books, Key Bible Concepts and the Definition of Christianity. So, as well as all that, all those days, add another one, Advised. There's so many books out there, even you and I here sometimes become overwhelmed. So many books, can't read all of them. Which one should I read? I need advice. Can you recommend a book? Nigerians are no different. They take recommendations seriously, they appreciate advice. And so we try to give recommended book lists. We try to show them the best books, if possible, that they can study and read and benefit from and build up their own library or maybe their college library. They need advice. So this is what we're trying to do on a daily basis. It's a challenge, but it's an exciting and, we believe, a strategic ministry. So we're rejoicing, as we've said, that with your help, the Africa Bible Commentary is available and is on sale. Skim over some of these. This was receiving the first copy, that's about a year ago. It's now launched, it's now available, it's now on sale. These are some of the ACTS staff. The lady up at the top is my colleague, Pamela Gaya. She's married to a Nigerian lecturer in the University of Jos, a church history lecturer, Musa Gaya. And Pamela from Northern Ireland is a stalwart in ACTS and a great inspiration and encouragement to us. And she's based there in Jos. It's not always easy. She lives outside Jos a little bit. And she's reporting kidnapping around. She's sometimes nervous for herself and her daughter and her family. So pray for Pamela, but pray for the ACTS staff as they get the books out. One other little thing to encourage Jeff here. Jeff and I, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? We got together and we went over and met somebody who was going out to Uganda. Oh, yeah. I know Karsten has a great interest in Uganda. And I've been praying too to have opportunity to get good things into Uganda. And God opened the door. Some young people were going out to visit other young people from Northern Ireland who were ministering in Uganda. And Chris Brown, he's a teacher in Newcastle, I think. But he seems to spend half the year in Uganda and half the year here. I'm not quite sure how that works. But anyway, this was his response, Jeff. I don't think I gave this to you. Thank you for sorting the literature at such short notice. We took some of the Why Jesus, both the books and the booklets, the Why Jesus, Why the Cross, and we also gave him an Africa Bible Commentary in English. So anyway, this was his response. We had a great week with Jamie Dill, who works at Green Island Baptist. Some of you might know Jamie. We had a great week with Jamie Dill holding discipleship meetings and Bible clubs. The booklets have been very useful with the young adults at Kisaki Village. They read English well. All who attended the discipleship course received the books as well. The Why Jesus books were given to the local church leaders, and they found them very clear and easy to understand. We are on the lookout for the right person to give the large Africa Bible commentary. So that was his response, appreciating the literature. So there we are. Jean and I appreciate your prayers. We've had some health challenges ever since the MND issue, which, as you may remember, Jean had a wrong diagnosis, got cleared of that, ran into other problems, and then had more problems in around September. She had clots in her lungs. And then January wasn't too good for either of us. I fell, and 2 weeks later, she didn't want to be out of step with me, so she fell. Except she came off, I wrecked my back. She dislocated her shoulder, and then 3 weeks later found out that she'd not only dislocated it, but broken it. There was a fracture as well as a dislocation. So she is in pain and in a sling, though she's disguising it there tonight. But anyway, we appreciate your prayers. And we have those challenges. We need wisdom in deciding when I should visit Nigeria again. I was hoping to go in May. I may still go. I haven't ruled it out, but just praying about that. So please pray for wisdom. Thank God that the work doesn't depend on me being there. I can do so much from here, and we can use other ways, the mobile phone, the email, WhatsApp, Zoom, to talk to our staff there, to be in contact with them, to encourage them. It's all much more possible. And when we first went to Nigeria, even telegrams couldn't reach us. Jean's sister had a very sad cot death, and it took 6 weeks for the message to reach us that cot death had happened here in Northern Ireland while we were in Nigeria. 6 weeks to get important information. Now, like 6 minutes, you can be in touch with somebody. So that's a big help. So whether I go or don't go, the work is going on. And there are other visitors. Just a wee note at the end, one of our partners is an organization called NAI, and this conference was held in Ghana. Luca was able to go to it back in November, and one of the people there is a friend of ours who's been to Nigeria several times as a kind of consultant advisor. I love this. He's Filipino. He worked for OMF Publishing in Manila. He's now an OMF missionary based in Chicago, traveling all over the world, the third world, Africa especially, to train publishers and literature ministries. Isn't that great? And Ramon Rocha is his name. Pray that Ramon will be able to get a visa and have another visit just in the next few weeks to be with our ACTS staff in Nigeria. So that would be great. This is a little book that he has written about profit and purpose. We try to make it a sustainable ministry, a business, but the purpose is clear. We know why we're doing it. It's for Jesus. Everything is for Jesus. And that's why. So pray for that. Pray also for the IT or computer project that we're trying to get off the ground, a second phase of a computer project we started about 5 years ago. The computers are dying and needing renewal and needing new help. They were refurbished in the first place, so most of them are dying off, so we need a new supply. So pray that that will be able to happen this year. And our friend Ken Callahan, who runs an IT business in Lisburn, will be able to go and help install and train and help our staff. So thank you so much for your interest. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And the Lord is working. In spite of all the bad news that comes out of Nigeria, and some that doesn't get on the headlines here, you're right, Patrick, doesn't reach us. Quarter of it doesn't reach us. What does reach us is always bad news. I hope I've been able to share some good news of what God is doing in spite of persecutions and sufferings, as has always been through the history of the church. So may God give us the courage to know why we're alive and to know what our purpose is in life and to serve the Lord Jesus for his glory alone. Thank you so much, Patrick. Back to you.